Hello everyone, my name is Key and this is Metamorphoses. After a short break, I'm back again. Yes, my vacation was very nice, thank you very much. And my birthday has also passed in the meantime, so you know, double the fun. If you reach deep into your memories, you might remember that last time we were talking about the adventures of Cadmus in founding the city of Thebes. He fought a dragon, teeth turned into people. Now his grandson gets his own adventure, though it's cut rather short, and his daughter has an encounter with Jupiter which leads Juno to her. Things cannot go well with those two. This is Book 3, Episode 2, Dear Actaeon and Slightly Vaporized Semele. One warm midday, a hunting party decided to stop and rest. One of the people in the party was called Actaeon. He was Cadmus' grandson. Actaeon, who is technically a prince, talks to his men. "We've hunted enough today, boys. Tomorrow we will resume when the sun rises. Now you can rest." And the men do what he asks, and so the hunt is stopped for the afternoon. Close to the place where the hunters stop and rest, there is a beautiful piece of green. Just imagine the most beautiful forest you've ever been in, with a lake and beautiful trees and just everything to the smallest stone is just heavenly. Sometimes, when the goddess Diana is tired from hunting in the woods, she goes to rest in that part of the forest, and she washes herself in the lake. The nymphs around her take the goddess's bow and arrows and her cloak. Her shoes are also taken off, and one of the nymphs, very handy, can tie up her hair. 5 of the nymphs take water from the lake and then pour it over the goddess. Now you might think, everything is great, but wait a moment, things will go wrong very soon. Of course, someone will walk in on this peaceful scene. And I wouldn't have introduced Actaeon if he wasn't at least somewhat important in this story. And guess what? He's indeed important. You could say he's the main character. It is indeed him who walks in on the goddess Diana bathing. All the nymphs panic and try to form a close circle around their mistress to hide her naked body. Unfortunately, Diana is taller than they are, I suppose that is a characteristic of a god, and her head and shoulders stick out. Diana, a virginal goddess who does not take kindly to men in her company, especially when they have seen her naked, really wants her bow to presumably shoot Actaeon. Instead, she throws water in his face. I'm unsure if the water is just something to make him close his eyes, or if it's part of the curse Diana lays on poor Actaeon. And it is reasonable to call him Paul, at least in this version. Ovid does everything to remind us that Actaeon stumbling upon Diana was a complete accident. There is not a single thing in the narration that points to Actaeon looking at Diana's body more than necessary. In fact, as soon as he enters the clearing with the lake, Actaeon's actions are no longer mentioned. It is probable that he saw the goddess's naked body in the split second when he entered the clearing, but the nymphs were so quick in covering her up that his glimpse could not have been long. It is not mentioned if Actaeon keeps looking in her direction or if he turns his head away. Whatever the case, Diana is mad and thinks he should be punished. After she throws the water in his face, she tells him that he can now tell everyone that he saw the goddess Diana without her clothes on, at least if he can still tell the story. This sounds slightly like a line from a villain in a shitty action movie. And then Diana starts transforming Actaeon, because of course that's what's happening here. We're still reading the Metamorphoses. She gives him antlers, the neck of a deer, his ears become pointy at the end, his hands become hooves, and his arms become slim legs. Lastly, he is given fur with small dots in it. Actaeon is a stag now. Great day for the grandson of Cadmus. The house of Cadmus will have other great things happen to it before the end of this book. Just wait for it. Actaeon is now skittish and runs away, faster than he thinks is normal. Eventually, he comes across some water, looks at himself, and discovers he's been turned into a stag. Ah, shit, he's probably thinking, because he can't actually talk anymore. And so he can't tell others that he saw Diana naked. And then he cries. You'd cry for less, I suppose. Did you think that was it? Actaeon gets turned into a deer and can't talk anymore. How terrible. It can't get any worse. Of course it can. Let's go. Dear Actaeon. Ha. Is wondering where he should go. Back to the palace. Hide in the woods. Nothing seems like a good idea. And then his dogs discover him. Now comes a part that is probably great for dog enthusiasts. And because I can guess that some of you dear listeners are indeed great dog friends, I will give you this part in full. The dogs are all named. Get ready for many, many ancient dog names translated into English. Blackfoot. Spartan breed. Tracker. From Crete, Ravenous, Mountain Ranger, Gazelle, all Arcadian, Fawn Killer, Hunter, Hurricane, these are all wonderful names, Wing Dog, Chaser, Sylvan. Some of these dogs sound like comic book heroes or villains. There is then a dog named, and I kid you not, Glenn. Okay. Shepherdess, Harpy, River, Racer, Gnasher, Spot, Tigress, Valor, Sheen, Soot. The last two are white and black, respectively. Spartan, Whirlwind, Swift, Wolfcup, Grabber, Sable, Shag, Rumpus, Whitefang, Yelper. He howls very loud. And others, apparently. There are an abnormal amount of dogs here. I say this, not knowing anything about hunting and how many dogs people take with them for that. The dogs are all chasing after Actaeon, climbing over rocks. The hunter has become the hunted. Actaeon would very much like to tell his dogs that it is him, their master, but unfortunately he can't speak anymore. Then come three more dog names, which are the dogs that catch up to him first and bite him. Blacklock, Beastkiller, and Mountain Boy. We are still in the territory of comic book names, it seems. These three pin their master to the ground and the rest arrive too, and Actaeon is eaten. Honestly, these dogs are a little too vicious, maybe. As far as I know, when hunting, dogs are supposed to suppress, catch, or maybe kill the prey, not actively maul it with like 50 dogs. Dear Actaeon will not make a good meal this way. Anyway, Actaeon groans some to the sky, because it is the fault of the gods. He's got a point. His hunting buddies are goading the dogs and looking around them to see if Actaeon is close by. He's got to come see this deer they've caught. Actaeon, being the deer they've caught, really does not want to come. And seeing as he's already here and being killed by his dogs, he doesn't have much choice. Eventually, Actaeon dies and Diana's revenge is sated. The news of Actaeon's grisly death goes around, though I wonder how they knew what happened. Did it not just seem like Actaeon mysteriously disappeared during a hunt? It could be that the people referred to here are the gods on Olympus. It seems reasonable that they would know what happened to Actaeon. Anyway, whoever this refers to, something Diana was justified, something she was not. Only Juno, Jupiter's wife, remains neutral. She's just happy that Cadmus's house is experiencing these disasters. If you remember, Jupiter had an affair with Europa, Cadmus's sister, and Juno was a tiny bit mad about that. And now that source of almost all problems in ancient times, Jupiter, has created another problem. He's had an affair with Semele, Cadmus's daughter, and she's pregnant. Juno's about to fight with Jupiter. You know, the problem, when she thinks of a better idea. She's going to punish the woman. Great idea. It appears Juno is jealous mostly of Semele's pregnancy, because she herself has had some problems giving Jupiter children. The plan is to make Jupiter get rid of her. The get rid of will be quite literal. Then Juno goes down to the ground, and hidden inside a golden cloud, enters Semele's house. Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw a golden cloud, I'd watch it closely. I'm not sure that's a good disguise. Anyway, Juno turns into an old woman, thereby sort of starting the evil stepmother turns into an old woman to harm beautiful lady trope. She's specifically transformed into Beroe, Semele's old nursemaid. They talk, and eventually Jupiter is brought up. Juno, as Beroe, tells Semele that she hopes it was indeed Jupiter and not some pretender. This man, if he is actually Jupiter, should prove it to her. Semele should ask Jupiter, when he comes to her next, to embrace her the way he does Juno, as a god, and not as a mortal man. When Semele sees Jupiter next, she asks him to grant her wish. It seems that Jupiter has not learned from the story of Phaethon and the sun, because he promises on the Styx that he will give Semele whatever she wants. This will go well. Semele asks Jupiter to show himself as he is with Juno. Jupiter is immediately like, fuck. Jupiter is now sad. And very sad, he goes to the heavens and takes some clouds back with him, with rain, lightning, thunder and wind. Apparently, he takes the whole weather channel with him when he has sex with Juno. He tries to lessen his power and takes a less powerful lightning with him, but Semele is instantly vaporized. Jupiter then does something interesting. He takes Semele's unborn child and puts it in his own thigh and sews it shut. Great. After the baby is born from Jupiter's thigh, Ino, Jupiter's aunt, takes and feeds the child in secret, and later nymphs raise him in their caves. He's got an interesting future, this kid. And that's it for today. Next episode, we meet someone quite famous. He's called Narcissus. You might have heard of him. You can find me on Twitter at MetamorphosesK and on Tumblr at key-metamorphoses. Until next time, bye.